Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
From the Figus Studios. Yes, I know it's not live, but it is.
It's not live.
Because we're live.
Well, we are, but we are always live in the moment that we are in.
And this is a great moment, because this is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, my table of companions. One mouthful of bread. Tao.
Guess who's back, bitches?
You know what? We've had you touring the world every week. We open up with where and what you're doing. I think you saved some villagers. You flew around
God,
the world.
You guys make me sound so interesting. I'm just like, help me out of this prison that is called work.
You are in the Bastille.
You know, that's the thing about adventures is they always suck when you're the one in them. And so I they always sound way cooler.
So we're putting you in another adventure? Fuck!
God damn it!
I just got back!
I'm pretty sure that's how Conan the Barbarian feels. Is like, no! I just want to settle down.
And our special guest, Cinnamon Toast Flavored Red.
It kind of reminds me of this anime called,
You're saying I'm spicy?
Duh.
I'm the lesser known spice girl. I'm Cinnamon Toast.
There's this anime called Psyche K where the guy who is the protagonist doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't want this. I just want to live a normal life. I'm just OP as fuck.
He's like, I just want to picket fence.
We are sponsored by HobbyDB, the collector's database. Go there, find out your value, list your own products, sell your own products, keep track of your own collection.
I'd love to keep track of shit.
You don't really have much of a collection. You give away more than you have.
What are you talking about?
Your stuff.
I give away crap. I have my own collections.
I also have my own collections. I know.
I just don't collect crap.
You just give it away.
Right, because when crap comes in my life, I give it away to you collectors. You guys
I also started making Gundams recently again.
Again?
Again!
You fell off the wagon?
Well, no, because, I couldn't find the Gundam that I wanted, and then I found him, like, shit. And then I found, another Gundam, which is, really hard to find. I'm just like, shit!
You do have to buy those when you see them.
I agree. Yeah. That is the collector's...
You have to do that.
The collector's
law. I got the Shin Musha, and that one was, $82.
Oh, no, there are things that you can be like,
that's
no, that'll
so much
that'll
to spend for a model.
But he's about this tall. He's a 1 to 100, and then he also has his own stands and stuff like that too.
Oh, okay.
So he's not at a bad price. Plus, I could not find him certain websites I can, certain websites that are completely sold out. So I'm like, I can't believe that I actually found it in a store.
Yeah. So you have to jump on those things when they're available.
Hopped on it like the Spanish Inquisition.
That's what savings accounts are for.
I started doing that now. That's been a little bit better.
Savings?
Yeah.
Or buying things as you see them?
No.
Or jumping on witches.
I'm jumping on witches, but also because, I want to learn more stuff. So that's why it's just like, please teach me your ways. But also having developed savings because I couldn't really do that when I was working at Clutch because I was just like, I'm living off of my paycheck. Fuck.
As the way of the world. Let's get caught up on the world of geek. You went on an adventure. Speaking of adventures, yes, I'm looking at you.
I know you're looking at me, but I don't know what you're talking about.
The Mac and Cheese Festival.
First of all, stop doing that because you keep saying mac and cheese, and that was a month ago, and I didn't go to that. I went to the Grilled Cheese Festival.
How much of there is a difference between mac and cheese and grilled cheese?
The difference is toast
and pasta. Well, can you put mac
you
and cheese
can still,
in
yes.
a sandwich?
Yes.
Nobody did that. Okay.
That's a lie.
No, nobody there did that.
How can they not do that? That is such a gimme.
But that sounds so delicious.
It is so delicious because there's a food truck here in Denver that does that, and it's amazing. Oh. It's like religion changing.
Can you imagine the toasty bread and then that soft
pasta? Yeah, exactly. And they balanced it so well. And
these guys are fucking fucking up.
I know, and I'm like, I'm on. I didn't pay attention. I just ordered something, and I got that, and then after the fact, I was like, oh, and like, what was the name of that food truck? I don't know, but I'm on a quest to refine them.
Yeah, because we were at trivia one night,
and I totally expected them to be at the Grilled Cheese Festival. It was one of the main reasons I was like, I'm going to the Grilled Cheese Festival, and they weren't there.
Because, okay, how many different ways is there to do a grilled cheese?
Okay.
3, 4?
Apparently 18, but I didn't vote.
I feel like if that would have happened, where, like, I expected them to be there, they're not there, I'd probably kick a trash can and be like, well, what's the fucking point then?
I did. There was a Euro truck, and I was all like, why?
A Euro truck.
Ooh.
For grilled cheese.
I didn't know which one you're talking about. I actually do like the
Yeah, but
why, that's not grilled cheese.
Why is it a cheese festival?
Is the Euro grilled into the cheese?
I didn't come here for Euros.
No.
Don't get me wrong, I love Euros, but I didn't come for Euros, I came for grilled cheese.
So did you have respectable grilled cheese, or was it food truck grilled cheese?
Well, I didn't get to the food trucks. but the grilled cheese that I had, some were sandwiches with cheese.
Hence.
No, because there's grilled cheese.
Yes.
With extra things. And then this is a sandwich with cheese that you're trying to tell me is grilled cheese.
It's
just like a plain slice that isn't even melted.
Well, realistically,
yeah, it's like that. You can't just have a sandwich with cheese and call it a grilled cheese.
No, there's in my opinion, there's only two respectable things. Now three, because of the mac and cheese discovery.
Mm-hmm.
But two things that are allowed on a grilled cheese sandwich.
That's not enough.
Is bacon.
Okay.
Or ham. Either or.
Some protein?
That's bordering on
it is,
the ham and cheese sandwich.
It is
pot.
Bordering, but if you do, like, you know, bacon or bacon bits or something crunchy, something to add a little salty to it.
There was a pork belly sandwich there.
Okay.
And actually,
I do like me some pork belly.
There was a couple of pork belly sandwiches, but the ratio was off, that it was like, this is a great pork belly sandwich with cheese.
And the other...
It's not a grilled cheese.
The other is mayonnaise. Now, I know as...
No, mustard.
Mustard is... A condiment.
Okay, if I'm given the option between mayonnaise with cheese and mustard with cheese, I'm always going to go mustard.
That just sounds nasty to me either way. I'm sorry.
The mayonnaise I'm not a fan of. However, there are a lot of people, many that listen to this podcast, that I know that are addicted heavily to mac and cheese with mayonnaise.
Is this Japan?
No.
They're obsessed with mayonnaise.
Their mayonnaise is different than ours.
No, I know, but I mean, they're also really obsessed with ketchup and mayonnaise.
I did go to the
Ketchup is originally from China, and I'm tired of everyone being like, that's a white people thing. Wash Asians don't do it. It's like, okay, first of all, we got ketchup from China, so shush. That being said, it's still an abomination. I want nothing to do with it.
But I mean, like, they even do it at, like, ketchup with... Rice, like omo rice, has... Oh, yeah. It's good, though.
I went to this great Korean fried chicken place over in Stapleton.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. My friend works there.
Their wings are to die for. They are absolutely great. It's a place that's actually out of Jersey.
So I don't have to talk about my grilled cheese experience anymore.
Oh. No, you don't want to.
I mean, you changed the
subject. I mean,
I'm just talking about...
It sounds like you're very disappointed with the fact that there is no mac and cheese.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
so
I
you were not happy with it?
The best grilled cheese I had was, I don't even know, because everyone I talked to who had it, they had a different experience. I heard people talk
from
about...
From the same cart?
From the same booth.
Okay.
They were like, oh, you mean the goat cheese mac and grilled cheese. Oh, you mean the pesto mac and cheese. And I was like, okay, I don't know
pesto's
what
good.
You're talking
Pesto's
about.
Pesto's delicious.
Because it was basically a spinach artichoke dip.
Okay.
With goat cheese. Fried. Between bread.
Mm.
And it was the best thing I've eaten since 2019.
I don't know how I feel about artichoke.
Artichoke is... I'm down with artichoke.
They were artichoke hearts. Mm-hmm. They weren't brined.
No. I mean, my mom tends to do like an artichoke drink like in summer to like... It just cools your body down.
Have you ever had artichoke dip? Like a good artichoke dip?
No.
Like not
I know what's
from,
next in Tao's future.
Not from Chili's, but like homemade from scratch artichoke dip. Okay, so you don't know.
You know what? And the Bennigan's one was way better than the Chili's ever could be.
I don't
don't know. Okay,
because homemade is impossible. My mom doesn't do that shit. Sorry.
Because okay, so spinach artichoke dip is imagine pesto as a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got artichoke hearts in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so imagine that. Mm-hmm. And then they added goat cheese, and it was just the right amount of tang.
Mm.
So I know goat cheese is one of those, like, it's a fence divider where people are like, no, goat cheese, no, I don't like it. It has flavor. I don't like flavor. Give me my craft noodles.
It's not so much flavor, and it's just the texture.
No, it is. Weird. Okay, when it's melted on bread, the texture is moot because the texture is always the same.
This is true. And it's mashed between bread.
It's melted and it's smashed between bread. The texture is grilled cheese. That's the texture. So mm-hmm. I don't want to hear this texture argument. But people are all like, it's always like people who are for grilled cheese and people who are for Kraft singles, and think that's cheese. So I don't know.
Okay, so back in the day, cheese slices from Kraft were cheese. It wasn't until much later that they became waxy.
No, they were. You were five and you didn't know any better, and that's the difference. Some of us outgrow Kraft singles. Some of us realize that it's not real cheese and I like it anyway, and some of us are morons. That's where it is.
My favorite's Gouda.
Gouda. I'm all for the cheese whiz, personally.
God, you are so Midwest sometimes.
Every once in a while, it rears its Midwestern-y head.
You know,
I also really like Brie.
I love Brie.
Brie's really good. Brie's
She's
good.
A real good girl.
Proper.
Okay. Seriously. There are moments where I'm just like, you know, you're from Wisconsin, and you should appreciate cheese. And then you're like, cheese whiz. I'm like, I don't know how to talk to you.
You know what?
Wait, isn't that cheese in a can?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so unfortunately, in Wisconsin, Cheese Whiz took off way more than it should have, especially when you're dealing with brats
it's not the burger joints. Like, with cream in a canister cheese, that's different.
Okay, I was thinking the canned one.
It's canned cheese, but it's not it's not necessarily the stuff in that, like.
Okay, because like that freaking like
misnomer. That's a misnomer, and I understand because when we think of Cheese Whiz, we're always thinking of that.
Yeah, but so now
they do.
I tried it before. It's so gross.
They do make Cheese Whiz in those canisters, but Cheese Whiz is not necessary. Cheese Whiz is a dumb thing. It's like Tostitos queso. It's its own thing. Mm. And it's, either way, it's still, it's like Velveeta. It's like, no.
And even in Philly, when you get a Philly cheesesteak in Phily, they've gotten onto this Cheese Whiz, which is an abomination to a Philly cheesesteak.
Traditional Philly cheesesteak, it's chili cheese steak. It's a Philly steak sandwich. Cheese was added later by New Yorkers. I don't know. But in Philly, the traditional cheese is Cheese Whiz from a jar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's tradition, and it really changes what you think of when you're like, oh yeah, I love a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. It's like, first of all, what you're thinking is not what they're serving in Philly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little different, but it's worth it.
I don't know if it's worth it.
It's worth it. You have to at least try. It's not like government cave cheese where you got this big can.
Spending $12 for a sandwich, ain't going to be no artificial government cave cheese bullshit on it.
Just because you need a ladle to serve it up does not mean there's anything wrong with it.
I didn't say that. I want real cheese.
No, real cheese is preferred.
I've never seen such a heated debate over cheese.
Okay, not to get all racy on you, but you're Asian. What do you know about cheese?
She knows more about noodles.
That's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Speaking of real cheese, the Masked Singer has definitely...
You start saying it like Nick Cannon. Singer.
I am. I totally
stole it. We don't
really
have cheese in a lot of our dishes.
That's what I'm saying. That was the other comment.
Well, no, because like since we do have some French influence and stuff like that, you would think that they would bring that over. But I'm guessing that there's no fucking way because milk is also really expensive.
Yeah. To be fair, a lot of the Asians that I know, the majority of them are lactose intolerant.
Like, severely.
Why you gotta come at me like this?
I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying, as a
point of reference, a lot of the Asians I know are lactose intolerant. Most it's really intolerant. Weird when one is allergic to seafood. Like shellfish.
I've seen that before.
And that is weird.
My sister is, only when it's raw. When it's cooked, it's fine.
Really?
It's up there with the cilantro thing. And it's like, that means you have no soul. Like, how can you not? How can you be allergic?
We're gonna throw you in with the ginger.
I like cilantro.
Oh, no, but I don't remember which... specific culture it is. It might be Korean, and I'm sorry to keep bringing up Koreans.
That's right.
That believes that if you don't like cilantro, like if you have like if you don't like the taste of cilantro, it means you have no soul.
Oh,
like it's a folklore thing. Where
there is also, so
if I got that wrong, I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
Yeah, don't alienate our Korean listeners.
I don't. No, I'm not. If I got
all
it wrong,
six of them
would
be pissed.
It's a folklore thing, and if I get the wrong country, I apologize.
There's actually a funny. So I can have a bit of like actual.
It might be
milk.
Tight. I don't.
Yeah. I can actually have like a bit of milk before like my stomach does start to hurt. And I got overly excited because Little Man's Ice Cream, they had the Earl Grey version. And so I usually get the kids cup because that's enough of like a lot enough for me to be like, okay, like if I eat any more than this, I will die. And I end up getting like a bigger cup, which is like the singles cup. And I ate the entire thing, and then my stomach started to hurt. I was watching Gordon, I think it was Kitchen Nightmares with two of my friends.
No, I can't watch Kitchen Nightmares, but go on.
So I was just like, my stomach's hurting. My friend's like, I told you to get the smaller cup, and you didn't listen to me. I'm like, he's like, you're lactose intolerant, you fucking noob. I'm
but
like,
Asian culture is
so good.
A lot of Asian cuisine has tofu, which gives a similar texture. Like mm-hmm. when it comes right down to it, that creamy texture thing that we love about cheese.
I feel like milk was not really accessible.
A lot
either.
Of Asian cultures, they get that from tofu, but they don't really do milk and dairy products the same way.
I feel like
that Scandinavian cultures.
Well, because we aim for longevity. And so, yeah. And a lot of times, like, milk tends to spoil, so we don't, like, that and we have no access to it.
Because curds and whey, bitch.
Well, and then you go to India where everything
Scott
is all
Pilgrim?
About the cheese.
Scott
oh,
Pilgrim?
God. That would destroy my stomach. I'd be like, ooh, I want to try this. Oh!
I love India.
I want to die!
So, I can't watch Kitchen Nightmares because then I would never eat out again.
Mm-hmm.
That saves me so much money. Anytime I'm getting spend happy, I always turn on Kitchen Nightmares.
But what I can watch is some Masked Singer.
Singer!
Because they listen to the fans.
He says it so weird. Nick Cannon, the host of Masked Singer.
I know who Nick Cannon is,
he
but
says
why
it,
did he say
it
Singer?
I don't know.
So much emphasis.
It's a weird emphasis. And
Singer.
It's been it's like it's caught in his nasal passage and he just goes backwards. And he's just like, Singer.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was thinking of like you're trying to remember a word and then you kind of like stop mid-throw.
Word association.
Like,
Singer.
Because it's not just when he says Masked Singer. He always is like, our singers today. And it's just like what accent is that?
I don't know. He's just too hopped up on candy.
I don't know if it's just like his bone structure or what, but he does he emphasizes the G in a weird way.
What I do like is they listen to the fans. They didn't throw like all of these different ones at us at once. We stayed focused
They've changed the structure each season.
They have, but I like this structure so far. I'm on board. At least I know who I'm rooting for and who I'm rooting against.
There's still like 27 people in the thing.
That's fine though.
No. Give me 12 each season. It's a good number to follow. It's a good number to keep, and it's a great. It's consistent.
I think.
Did you just get possessed?
I think so. I was waiting for her head to spin. I'm on board. Tiger needs to go, though.
Tiger should have gone. Miss Monster was robbed.
Miss Monster was robbed, but she did have problems with her song. That
you cannot compare any problems she had
with how bad Tiger sang.
Yeah,
agreed.
Her any problems anyone has had compared to Tiger are insignificant because Tiger has white boyed bad rapped 3 times 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And it's embarrassing. It's like, oh man.
Because you know what, all progress that has
been made with black people being more represented in theater and movies and television is all out the window because White Tiger, bad white boy rapping 3 weeks in a row, has passed.
He's just entertaining. He dances around like an idiot.
No, he is not entertaining. He is, I'm pretty sure he's been drunk the last two performances. It's an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed for the human race.
I think who it
is. I want the Klingons to conquer us just to put us out of our misery.
I think it's Gronkowski.
I'm ready.
I agree.
From the New England Patriots.
And it's not making me like him anymore. It's actually making the whole situation worse.
Maybe. Because I think they've leaked out a little bit too much as far as who they are to the people around them. Because this week they had, like, people in their past talk about
those weren't
who
real
they
people.
Are.
You know that, right? Those were just characters dressed up, reading things that they
yes.
wrote.
Yes. I know.
But it was still weird.
It's still weird.
This show is starting to feel a lot like Denver Comic Con or whatever they're calling themselves this week, where they're trying so hard to get themselves canceled. They're like, oh man, we're still a success. We didn't expect to get this far. We better fuck things up further just so people will cancel us. And it's like everything they do right. They're like, nope, we should stop doing that. We should put lines and security checks in front of the restrooms. That's what we should do. Yeah. What?
Yes, before you can put the mask on, you have to go through the security check to use the restroom.
Oh, no, that's actually something that happened to me at Denver Comic
Con. Yes, it happened a few years ago. But yeah. The show that is a hit, and I'm saying this quite literally, is Lego Masters.
Lego Masters is so much fun because it's so self-aware.
It's very self-aware.
And what's his face? Will Arnett he's so good at being a comic host.
Yes.
He's so the opposite of Jim Carrey. It's amazing because he's funny.
He is funny.
Unlike most Canadians. But I've gotten snarky. I've gotten extra snarky. My favorite thing is he's so self-aware of how the tropes of reality competition shows go that he's like coming over to these things like, we've known each other for 20 minutes, but I gotta come over here and act like
we're the best of friends.
We gotta have a heartfelt conversation like we're the best of friends, and they're gonna interrupt whatever emotions we get. They're gonna cut in the middle of it and go to commercial, and then they look at the camera and then they go to commercial.
This week
it's so self-aware in a very Deadpool for kids way.
Yeah, it breaks the third wall quite effectively.
Or, dare I say it, Lego Batman way.
Lego Batman way. The couple that got sent home is no surprise in my mind. Arnett, actually, because when he walked over there and he did the intervening, it was like, seriously, guys, you're building Legos. Relax. I mean, you can actually see in Will's like dialogue that this was like, dude, calm down a little bit. You're just building Legos. He's trying to talk this guy off of a ledge who I honestly thought was going to like go storm out into traffic because it's the end of the world.
Okay, so there are already, it's been 3 weeks. No, it's been two weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Two episodes of Lego Masters. And I'm already harder into this than I ever was into Mask Singer. And you know how hard I am in that.
I regret eating that entire slice of bread.
No, you
sorry.
Don't.
But no, I cut it so angular that like the bottom part was too big.
It doesn't fit into my tiny little mouth.
But
it was delicious, but it was way too much.
there are already there's two teams. So the couples are teams. Every team is two people, mm-hmm. and every contestant is a team. But there's two teams that I'm like, yeah, you can go, and everybody else I love. Like, I have no one to root for because I'm just, like, rooting for everyone.
Oh, no, I got someone I can root for.
But, there are two teams. Actually, there's only three people. There's three people, which is sad because there's two teams, and there's two people on each team, but there's only three people I'm actively rooting against, which makes me feel so bad for this one team where there's this one person who's awful and his teammate mm-hmm. is doing the best that any human can with a terrible human being as her teammate. Mm-hmm. And I just feel bad for them because it's like, well, your team is doomed and it's not your fault and there's nothing you can do.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm actively rooting against your teammate, but I'm actively rooting for you and I don't know how to go. There's two teams that I'm like, 100%. Yeah, go away.
Let's hope I don't step on one though.
Oh. Well, and this week, the challenge was to have...
I'm not going
to
say who they are.
Yeah, the Lego challenge this week was to have your Legos explode in the most glorious way possible.
That sounds awesome!
It was, and there are like three different ways of detonation. One was literally blowing it up. One was dropping it from a height, like off the balcony.
Yeah, it splatters everywhere.
The other one was Will Arnett taking a baseball bat to it.
Oh!
That would have been so fun!
No, was it actually said?
The Batman.
No, it was a space ball bat.
Oh, it was a space ball bat.
I would love to have that kind of job where it's like, yo, it's okay for you to destroy this Lego bit with a bat. You want to do it? I'd be like, yes.
I was tweeting. I was live tweeting during the show, and I'm like, you don't blow up Lego.
I mean, we're going to like,
and it's great because Will Arnett comes up. He's twirling this bat, and he's all like, it's Batman time.
Oh my god. And,
I mean, he just hauls off.
See, I would love that. I also, it's kind of funny because it keeps making me think of like a character from this anime called Konosuba, because literally every time she uses an ability, she just goes, explosion!
Oh, it was quite the explosion. The one that won, I think, deserved to win. It's this giant green thing with tentacles coming out of it, and this detonator that's coming into it.
Where that's going.
Yeah, it wasn't Uratsuki Dojo, but
it was actually very impressive.
It was very impressive, and they dropped it from the balcony, and it hit the ground, and everything just went. It was
that
masterpiece.
Guy, the designer of that paid attention.
It was art.
In physics class, mm-hmm. Because there was one of the teams didn't. They didn't pay attention in physics class, and they were even like consulted. They were like, you're putting a lot of negative space in it, so when we hit that, mm-hmm. Things won't dissipate very well.
Yeah.
And they're like, in their minds, they're like, there's less to hit, so it'll shatter better, and that's not how physics works. Mm-hmm. And they were told, and sure enough, when they hit it, there were the only people who were impressed by it were the two builders. And they're like, oh yeah, that was so
he
great.
He was trying to sell it
and
hard.
Everybody, and even Will Arnett was all like, I feel like you're trying to gaslight us.
He literally, that's exactly what it is.
He calls them on their shit.
Because,
I think the only ones that are impressed with this are you.
Yeah, like you're really trying to project an image on, and it is. And I kept thinking about crab fishermen. And I did, and I'll tell you, and I'll explain because once upon a time, Deadliest Catch, and the captains of Deadliest Catch did a crossover with MythBusters.
Right.
Back when MythBusters,
but okay.
Back when MythBusters was respectable and not just about giant explosions. I mean, I have no opinion about anything, but they were doing a bunch of like. Okay, let's actually science a crab boat, and is it better to give your crew a good 8 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep, or give them 20-minute naps between in a 36-hour shift, and what's better, or is it better to and is a crab pot actually indestructible?
Uh-huh.
And a crab pot is basically a metal frame with a net on it that they call a pot, and that's what they catch crabs, and it's similar to a lobster pot, and that's what they catch shellfish in.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. called a pot. Okay, so the captains are like, well, you can put as much dynamite as you want on a crab pot. It's indestructible. And they're right, and then MythBusters did their MythBusters thing. Well, we're going to change the dynamics of the hypothesis to fit that we can get a bigger explosion and do more destruction, so science be damned. And what they always do, because it's MythBusters.
I mean, that's like something I would want to do, but not for like MythBusters.
Yeah, for MythBusters.
But there was a bet involved of like, can we actually blow up a crab pot? And the answer is no, because of the way they're designed,
uh-huh.
is it's mostly negative space.
Uh-huh.
So the way they got around that to win the bat.
This is why I didn't take physics.
No, this is why I don't like MythBusters, because I took physics. And,
I didn't take physics.
And you change the dynamics of you change the hypothesis to fit your outcome so you could win a bet and you're an asshole. I mean, crab fishing.
No, you already wrote it down. Like,
and
if you get it wrong, then you get it wrong.
But they
point of a hypothesis.
They put dynamite under the crab pot, and it blew up. But because a crab pot is mostly negative space, it blows up into nothing, and therefore the integrity of the pot, which is the frame,
uh-huh.
is left undamaged. And you just replace the net, because the net is meant to dissolve and be replaced from season to season.
Uh-huh.
So they changed the dynamic to put it against the frame, and they actually planted the dynamite with the frame. which if you plant dynamite against anything, obviously it blows up.
It's gonna blow up. Yeah.
So you changed the dynamics of what you were gonna do to win a bet, and that's asshole. But anyway, that's why the Lego thing didn't blow up, is because they did all negative space, and it was the same thing as, well, then you just made an indestructible crab pot.
Well, and when I was watching them, and I'm like, this isn't going to work, because when I was in physics, you do the experiment of drop an egg in a straw frame and drop it off of the building.
Uh-huh.
And what they did is basically almost the exact same design I did to make sure that there was enough negative space to absorb the impact but leave little impact upon the egg.
Uh-huh.
And
which makes me feel like they didn't understand. They didn't.
They were
doing.
Yeah.
They never took physics.
No, they can engineer like a motherfucker, but
engineering and physics are two different things. Yeah. Old.
The ones that I'm
and
rooting for.
What if they're
for,
a software engineer? Not
no, they're out, right out.
Then you're done.
You're done.
You go home.
Shut what up, kind
of, what kind of
go
language?
Home, Roger.
What kind of language do we build that in? Mm. No, never mind. The team that I'm rooting for.
Syntax errors.
Is the bearded guys.
Beard.
The beards are the shit, and I'm totally on board for the beards. That's what I want. I'm tired of the nauseating sweet little couple, the one that won this week.
Okay. They totally have live, laugh, love signs.
Oh my god! Oh. They hold hands during the judging. They're so cutesy. They're kissing, and I'm just like,
I just imagine it's like, oh,
yeah, that's exactly. I'm like, bleh.
It's actually worse.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to just dog on everything.
Is it like, it's not even milk chocolate, it's like white chocolate to the sweetest degree?
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you all. Ugh. Yeah. I'll tell you all.
It's eat, pray, love.
It's problematic.
Eat, pray, love!
it's
I'm done. Going home.
Yeah.
It's waspy problematic in a way that I'll tell you all.
They're cute. It's just dialed up way too much.
No,
it's like
not.
Someone accidentally slapped the dial too far forward. Like, oh, shit.
As soon as this show is over, someone's getting a divorce.
Mm-mm. Oh, God.
This week, I don't know if anyone has... Oh, actually, before we get to that. This month in Netflix.
This month?
This month.
No,
the
very much.
Final season of Clone Wars is being released on Disney Channel, and I can't wait. I want to see the
you
end of the
Disney
Clone
Plus.
Wars. Disney Plus.
Wait, then why did you say Netflix?
Sorry, did I say Netflix? I'm
you
sorry.
You said Netflix.
You said a
sorry,
lot of
I apologize. Clone Wars final
that's
season.
That's why I got really confused.
For
like,
Disney
wait,
Plus.
But that's Disney. Like, why is it?
Yes.
Is it still on Netflix? Like
Disney Plus.
Did they not pull back their stuff? I'm very confused.
Well, there's still some Disney stuff on Netflix.
Uh huh.
So I may have just cross referenced something I had.
I mean,
on
it could have been like a. Like since they had some of the rights to it, then okay.
I think they've been sitting on it, but finally we're gonna get the final season of Clone Wars, which I'm excited to see. I want to see how this damn fucking story ends.
I still need to catch up to Mandalorian.
Mandalorian is amazing.
Oh, so I'm Mandalorian referencing at you, and you don't get it? Okay, I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that you were looking for Amanda.
Mandalorian referencing at you.
Mandalorian.
Actually, I got the little Mandalorian Lego minifig package.
Wait, did you see Saber's cosplay for the Mandalorian?
Uh-uh.
Oh my god, it is fucking beautiful.
I haven't seen it yet.
It is gorgeous.
I honestly was talking to Batman Tom the other day, and we're talking about creating our own Mandalorian team, but the helmets are going to be DC inspired, so my cutout for the Mandalorian visor is going to be the Green Lantern symbol.
This is the way.
I want nothing to do with this.
This is the way. No, you weren't involved in it. Don't worry.
That's Saber's.
That's Saber's?
That's Saber.
Wow.
Dude,
that is... Holy shit.
He even did the rifle as well, and I want the rifle.
The rifle's badass.
He's like,
Look at the baby Yoda!
It was also really funny, because like as I was watching it, I'm like, it's like, okay, I'm probably the worst, like, Star Wars fan because, like, I'm kind of, like, wishy-washy about it, like, because of the fact that I go in and then I go out and then it sounds like a penis.
I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out.
Yeah, and
I
then,
throw up.
Dear God, no.
That's funny.
Cancel culture.
However, like, when I was, like, looking at his armor for, like, from the first episode until like he got it upgraded.
Yeah.
Boner! Just like, I was like, I have a boner for this armor!
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and then, funny story, my friend doesn't really see me as. He sees me as one of the boys because of the fact that I would frequently talk about my penis.
Yeah. That could be confusing.
I mean, because like whenever something happens, I'm like, I can only be so erect. I have the biggest boner right now. Like, he's like, okay, for like out of all the chicks that I know, he's like, out of all, every chick that I know I've ever come across or like have ever met in my life, you talk about your penis constantly. I'm like,
yes, I do.
Sorry.
Gotta
tuck it back.
That is funny. The Clone Wars will be premiering, I think, the 28th of this month, February.
Hey.
And I'm going to just blaze through it. I don't like the interface for Disney Plus.
Is it really annoying?
It is really annoying. It doesn't show, like...
Oh, it's very expected. And let me explain.
Latest releases.
Okay, you see, Netflix started as Netflix. And they were like, what if you could rent DVDs through the mail and we just sent them to you for a monthly fee? Uh-huh. And everyone went, that's crazy. Who would spend that? And then it worked. And they were like, what if we just stream things right to your TV? And everyone was like, the technology does not exist. And Netflix did it. And then everyone's like, we should all stream. And everybody, including Amazon Prime, was all like, we don't know how to stream because we just don't want to be like Netflix. So
they took over Twitch instead?
Yeah.
So we're
which
just
is
gonna,
a streaming service.
We're going to reinvent the wheel, but we're going to use square edges. And Disney Plus is like, we're going to go with a triangle. And because people will pay for Disney, that we don't have to try harder than a triangle. And that's pretty much how the interface
works. Fuck your four sides.
that is how the interface works. Is basically is, you know what, you gullible suckers. You all paid for Disney Plus, and you're going to keep paying for Disney Plus.
Are you sure about that? Because I'm pretty sure I've had friends who were just like, I just did the free trial, and now I'm leaving. Because it's over.
A lot of people are.
But yeah, they're like, yeah, you're all going to keep paying for this, so we can just be lazy and ineffective as much as we want. And that's how their interface works.
Sounds like me and Hulu.
Hmm.
It's just like, Like, man, there isn't that many shows. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Hulu, at least, is like, we think this might be user-friendly.
I think Hulu's is fine. Like, I mean, like, it's... It could use some work, but it's not like...
Hulu. Well, at least Hulu, you know when something is added.
Yeah.
When something is new. Disney Plus, you have no idea.
It's like,
when...
do you want this new season?
Yeah, you have no idea. They don't have any way of indicating what's new.
Oh, that pissed me off.
And it's annoying because I didn't know Toy Story 4 had been
searched for everything.
I didn't know Toy Story 4 had been added until I was like scrolling through, and I was like,
"Toy Story 4."
It's not as big a tearjerker as I was hoping for.
Oh no,
three is still a tear.
You have to basically Google search from scratch everything when you're on Disney Plus, and you're like, "I know this is made by Disney," and they're like, "You worded it weird, so fuck your search."
Wow, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's really weird. Because even like if you like misspell something on like Hulu or Netflix, they'll be like, mm-hmm. "Did you mean this?"
Yeah,
yeah.
Disney is all like, "No search is found."
Oh, so it's Bing.
Oh, honey, it's Ask Jeeves.
Oh,
wow. The one streaming service that is working, however, is CBS's, and Picard has been fabulous. I love where they're going, love what they're doing, and we finally got 7 of 9 this week, and she's a badass. And Hugh is in there from the Next Generation episode, and he's working with the Romulans.
I know what he's saying.
Okay, I'm just like,
these are all real people.
These are real people, yes. And I love where they're going with Picard.
So here's what my last month of hiatus has been, is I got the free trial to watch Mandalorian because I wanted to hear what all the hype was. And it's basically The Witcher in space. It's great. Yeah.
I need to watch The Witcher. It was really good.
Yeah. I've watched it 3 times.
Apparently the price for that game actually went up.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I've been reading the books. I've been trying to get a hold of the books from the library has been an adventure in and of itself. But finally, I'm on book 2, and I'm like, yeah, it's great. And I've been in online deathmatch debates about the adaptation for the Netflix thing. And it's like, okay, considering they're working from multiple source material, and they're trying to get you on board with the non-video game obsessed book reading nerds who already know the story. They're not doing the Harry Potter thing, where the adaptations are, if you haven't read the books, fuck you. Where they're actually trying to get all the non-people who don't already know everything caught up. and they're working from multiple source materials at the same time, I think the way they went about it was actually pretty clever and very smooth.
That's good, though.
And a lot of the problems that I have with it, and I do have problems with it, are nitpicky, and also it's like, you know what, but The Hobbit was made, so I'm just going to let that
slide. I mean,
slide.
I feel... like, a TV show adaptation is a better idea than a movie.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, like, it 2 hours is not enough, especially...
No, there's too much. There's too much history. There's too much backstory. There's too much...
Trying to set up the fucking world is also, like...
The way they went about it, too. They have multiple characters, because we all think of it as like, well, it's The Witcher, and there's this one main guy. It's like, yeah,
nope.
But there really isn't. There's multiple main characters, and we got to get you all caught up with all their...
Yeah. Well, there's so many characters involved in The Witcher.
Yeah.
The world is massive.
And what they've cut and what they've kept has been, I think, has been one of the most clever adaptations ever done, as far as clean and inviting to people who already know the world and like it, and people who don't know the world to like it.
That's really clever.
So I'm
really well executed.
And I know people want to nitpick with me, and it's like, yeah, but okay. You hated it because it didn't follow the video game is ridiculous.
No, but I mean, even Assassin's Creed has like a bunch of like books as well. It's
Assassin's Creed.
But the adaptation for it was dog
shit. The adaptation was terrible.
It was
poorly executed. It was very poorly executed. That's a great example of this is how you don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And
you can't do it in a movie. A show makes sense because you have them like a length of time that like you can actually like cover a lot of different aspects of the game.
Yeah, so
we
watch The Mandalorian, and it's The Witcher in space, and that's not a knock against it. That
nope.
was like this is the Western, the space cowboy Western we've wanted since Firefly got canceled, and I've seen lots of people on the internet send farewell letters to Firefly of like, no man,
you guys are done.
Yeah, you're done. Which is what I've been saying for 15 years. Which is, no, don't revamp Firefly. I know you love Firefly, but this is exactly what I was saying, is don't revamp what we already loved. Make something else.
Mm-hmm.
Make The Mandalorian. Now we've got The Mandalorian, and yes, season 2 is coming, but next time something great gets canceled, don't pray for it to get rebooted. Go make something great that is different.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of reboot, this one I am kind of on the fence, and I say it with a huge amount of trepidation because
you're in a room full of women.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
You're outnumbered now, but I'm also outnumbered in being the only POC.
I pass for white.
The actor I have a huge fondness for. He can never do any wrong in my eyes, and he's been retired for years.
Okay.
Rick Moranis has decided that he is coming back to film. But he's returning. He's been retired for years.
Oh, right, because he wanted to go be a single dad.
Yeah, because his wife passed away. He raised his daughters. He's been a responsible adult.
He
did some voiceover work in some cartoons and stuff like that.
He's a great example of humanity.
He is.
That's good on him, though.
Rick Moranis had nothing but love for. And for him to... This is where I get into the gray area, because for him to decide... Because he turned down Ghostbusters twice now.
Because
he didn't do the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And the reboot that's coming out this year with Paul Rudd,
mm-hmm.
he is also not in.
And I appreciate his consistency.
But now...
I mean, you know that he's not a sellout.
No,
he's not.
Great.
And he even said with the girls, he didn't get it. He came flat right out. He read the script. They approached him and he said,
okay.
It's great, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Man, if only.
I mean, he gave it a chance, but he's also like it also shows that he's also not. A
yes,
he's
I mean,
like,
this
okay,
is.
Well, I'm gonna jump on this bandwagon.
No, he's not.
Like,
he's
no.
definitely not a sellout because people have been like trying to get him to like
everything.
They've been trying like they've tried all kinds of tactics like bribery and shame and like, well, you're not a real man if you don't come back. And he's like, whatever. I am doing what's best for my family.
I can imagine it's like, I'm not a real man. I'm taking care of my children.
Yeah.
He's the fuck you talking about, bro?
He pulls up moral high ground every time.
You would have so much more money if you would just take this job. And he's like, whatever.
I make enough to sustain and take care of my family.
I mean, this is the guy that did Strange Brew, which is an absolute... out there fucking film.
Well, let's face it, most of his films are like, what were you thinking?
Well, and a lot of it is. He's a character actor.
But that was his job.
He was great at it.
We always get this weird idea that actors are are somehow these gods who are sent here by the stars and the divine to entertain us. And it's like, it's their goddamn job.
You know what's funny is that before ancient, like, I mean, I can't remember which period specifically, but I mean, they were always underpaid. They were jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
since
that was,
Shakespearean
before
time.
Before the 60s. It was pretty much everything before the 60s. They made the same as any corporate.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they didn't get paid very well.
They were middle class at best. Yeah.
They were like monkeys.
So now Rick Moranis is actually signed on to do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh.
They're doing a reboot.
Speaking of not being a sellout, I'd like to revisit that.
So, but see, this is that gray area that I'm kind of. So it's involving his son from the films, from the first set.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen these films. I mean,
since they were in theaters.
Yeah, ages. I mean, I have never revisited these films.
I watched was Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves.
Yeah, I've no idea.
I've never seen that one because I saw Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, and that was a big. Deal, but that's the second one. So there's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids, Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves, and that's the order they were made. And Honey, I saw most of Honey, I Blew Up the Kid on a VHS at my dojo when I was a kid, in the break room. But whatever, and it was like, no, I'm done.
Oh.
So evidently, it's supposed to focus on Nick Slinsky, his son, who we blew up in the second film. And is supposed to repeat some of the same problems that his father did in the past in shrinking the kids and all of that. The only reason that I'm really on the fence is, A, I don't think Rick Moranis would sign on to something that, A, he didn't get. And if he's looking for a paycheck, I can guarantee you...
It wouldn't be this.
Yeah. Mm. So there is some kind of redeeming factor. Now, I don't know if maybe it has a soft spot in his heart because... This is close to when he had his kids, and maybe they liked the film, and he's kind of like doing an homage to...
Oh, he's Dumbledoring it?
I don't know.
He's Dumbledoring it?
He might be. I mean, he's not John Hurt, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't even know why they're making a remake. I mean,
you see, that's the thing is...
Well, Disney's got power now.
Especially with where we're at with The Mandalorian's big success and The Witcher and a lot of the stuff, and then we get Sonic thrown in the mix. But no...
Sonic's actually up next.
Okay.
Well, so we can talk. Like
Here's the thing is, we're proving the point that I've been ranting about angrily like a crazy black lady for many years, which is stop nostalgizing your way for a greedy paycheck and just make good content. Make good new content. Go on to the next thing. Stop trying to do the cheap re-grab. Of what was successful 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago.
It's actually interesting because Anime is also doing the same thing as well. Yeah, Hunter x Hunter had a remake, Dororo, which is about a kid who was being was supposed to be sacrificed to demons, actually end up surviving, and so he kills these demons that his dad made pacts with in order to get his body parts back.
That's Hellboy in reverse.
So essentially, they honestly, a lot of the remakes are not that bad. Even Devilman Crybaby was actually the top pick for 2018's Anime of the Year.
Hmm.
So, I mean, some of the remakes are not bad, but some of them is kind of, like, questionable. But
I don't even know if reboot
the
is the correct...
Is weird.
Well, I don't know if the reboot is the correct term for this, because if they're continuing the story from his son's perspective, following
years
in
later.
30... And that's what they're saying. The story continues. It's 30 years later. Mm-hmm. They're following the storyline.
They're following Ghostbusters is what they're doing. This is a money grab.
Maybe?
This is a Ready Player One kickstarted all of our nostalgia genes. And we are going to cash in on that, which is also, and here's my segue... What Sonic is.
Now, Sonic is destroying the box office. It came in and killed it this weekend.
Was
that
actually good?
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it because they fixed the eyes?
I think because they fixed everything in the animation.
It definitely helped. But here's the issue with Sonic. You have done a 30-year-old video game adaptation for kids. Here's what that means is... This is something that the parents remember. People my age and older and maybe even slightly younger, they remember playing this game. And they are having the nostalgic and they are taking their kids. But the movie was made for kids. It's not made for the 30 plus year old nostalgic wannabe taking their kids to enjoy what they enjoyed the way that so many of these other nostalgic movies have been made. It's made for the kids to enjoy. And it's not like Pokemon that has never fallen out of popularity, where that something that you remember playing as a kid that's evolved and your kids now play a version of is relevant for all of you. It's not like that. This is a movie direct targeted towards young people who never played this game and have no interest in it. Their parents do, and it's not made for the parents.
Which makes no sense, because how it's dominating at the box office.
It's dominating at the box office because the box office is measured in funds and how much it made. And mm-hmm. the people buying the tickets are the 30-year-olds. But the problem with dominating at the box office is that does not register how well the response was to it. That registers how many people came in expecting something.
Well, all of the,
not how they felt when they left.
All of the response has been positive, actually. Everyone
no, it's
that
only,
is...
it's only registering like 66% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't give a shit what Rotten Tomatoes is.
They should, because it's still information. It's still data.
It is data, but everything that I have read on the Facebook web, tweets, and all of that, I don't read... buy into Rotten Tomatoes too often.
I do.
Okay. The feedback that I've seen tweeted and Facebooked so far, all of it's been on a positive swing. I'm actually surprised that Sega didn't get on the bandwagon and like do a anniversary edition or a re-release or something to bring Sonic to the younger generation. I agree that it is focused on the idiot adults that played this endlessly as kids.
No, it's not. It's focused on their kids, but that's not who is going to buy it.
No.
It's not who's going to enjoy it.
But if they were really thinking, they would have had a video game to back this movie up with to hook the younger kids that they're trying to bring in to see this
film. That's the big issue with doing the whole nostalgic Sonic thing, is they weren't thinking. They were just thinking, they just saw dollar signs and mm-hmm. they were like, we're going to grab those golden rings, and they didn't even get, and nobody in the boardroom got the joke.
No.
To even get the reference, and that should have been the big red flag.
Well, and even the same thing for Lego. If Lego is thinking, with this show, anything that they make on that show should be available to buy.
You can't judge that. They've had two episodes.
No,
Lego,
I'm still saying.
Lego has never fallen off popularity.
Lego never has fallen off popularity, but I think it's a missed opportunity. Because if you look at that, there are sets that I saw these guys build. That green tentacle monster, I'd fucking buy that in a heartbeat.
I would not buy that just out of
pure spite. Yeah, I know. That's you.
Fuck you.
they need to die in a fire. And I'll tell you more about that.
I just imagine like you walking down the store, seeing the scent, just flipping it off, being like, no.
The log ride.
You think I'd be that quiet about it?
The log ride boom from the beards. I'd buy that set.
Oh my gosh!
Someone just hears in the aisle, "Fuck you,
fuck you. And fuck you." I just think it's like huge missed opportunities from a marketing standpoint.
Buying it in line, going, "You're a bad human for doing."
Oh my god!
You want
Jesus
Christ. Forced to die. That's
oh my god!
You should buy a different set instead. Yeah.
So. Continuing to tap into the vein of nostalgia, Mark Hamill has been recently cast as the voice of Skeletor in the Masters of the Universe revelation that is being brought to you
by
Kevin Smith.
I think Mark Hamill has found the narrow loophole that is the nostalgia train. Because Mark Hamill is... And I've gone back and forth with Mark Hamill and thinking that, he's just Luke Skywalker, whatever. He'll never be anything else. And he has proven me wrong so many times that now I must change my tune and admit that I've been wrong in the past. And Mark Hamill knows how to do that fine line between money-grab nostalgic bandwagon and actual, like, well, if anyone's going to do this right, it's going to be me, so I'm going to do it. And he's definitely a creative individual who he shows this all the time with his actual personality on social media. If you follow his Twitter sphere or whatever, is you can see like how he interacts with real people and fans
mm-hmm.
and carries this over.
He's very fan friendly.
He's very fan friendly, but he's also very he has very much set his boundaries, and he's also set what he will engage in and how he will engage in it, and that carries over in his work when he does like the voice of Joker. Or when he does Luke Skywalker in the fanfics that Disney puts out, is he? I know what I said. He's an actor and a professional first, and it's his job. And his job is to be an actor, and he, whenever he does these things, he always does the best job that he can do. And it's pretty damn good, let's all be honest. Especially, like, he's proven with his villain voice work. He's very good at it.
Well, he's got a hell of a crew to work with him. Actually, Kevin Conroy is going to be in it as the Beast Man, which is fucking hilarious. Henry Rollins is the voice of Triclops. They even got the original Skeletor, Alan Oppenheimer, to play as Moss Man, so they didn't leave him out. And the list goes on and on as far as the cast. Of course, it's no small surprise that he also casted his daughter, Harley Quinn Smith, as Leela.
Okay, that disappoints.
That
mostly his choice as a parent to name something.
Come on, you know.
No,
Harley is a good name. Alicia Silverstone, of course, is going to be in it.
For a motorcycle. So is it a motorcycle?
I just love the list of people that are in this. I'm excited to see it. Nothing has come out as far as who's doing the animation
but
and how it looks,
like,
and
the whole He-Man debacle in the '80s. Like we need,
two major debacles.
This isn't so much okay. I know it's a nostalgic money grab. Everyone's on this bandwagon, but this is one of those things where it's like, okay, we've all wanted someone to redo this since 1985, and I know the movie didn't come out until 1987, so I know what I said. We knew it was going to be a mess then. But this is like something that we've all been waiting for, and the nostalgic grab is a good time to do it. It doesn't mean it's a part of the problem. This actually might be one of the good things that actually comes out of the problem that is the nostalgic graph.
Well, and there have
I'll
been...
I'll give this the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and there have been two attempted reboots for He-Man that have failed miserably. Unlike those, this one is actually taking place 35 years after the original. So it's based on the original He-Man.
Don't go
Funimation...
See.
No, it's going to be on Netflix. This is a Netflix series.
I don't care. Just don't go see the original He-Man to try and catch yourself.
No. The cartoon, not the movie, not the Dolph Lundgren train wreck. That
train.
Yeah, no. That had nothing to do with fucking He-Man. No, this is
based. That was Bloodsport for kids.
Yes, this is a follow up to the Funimation cartoon series from back in the '80s. So yeah, I'm almost sad that they didn't get Oppenheimer to play Skeletor again.
Yeah, but Mark Hamill.
I know. Where do you go? Do you take Mark Hamill, who's going to possibly sound like the Joker?
No, I think Mark Hamill's too much more professional.
Or the original voice of Skeletor.
No.
Damn you, He-Man!
The voice and it just popped into my head. It's like He-Man.
He-Man.
No, I think,
damn you!
I think. Okay, so
I'd fucking kill me.
You'd be laughing through half the fucking episode every time you talked.
When they did that Hugh Jackman, Nicholas Russell Crowe debacle, Les Misérables adaptation.
Yeah.
And they got the original Jean Valjean to be in it. They didn't give him the same role.
Mm.
They gave him a different role, and he did it great. And all of us that remember and have that nostalgic thing, we got to go, aha. But I feel like this is kind of...
Still a nod to the fans enough to say.
This is the nerdy 80s version of that, of like, look, dudes, this is where he's in it. But he's not going to do the same role. He's going to do a different role because he's not going to get typecast. We're going to give this to Mark Hamill and let him do his thing. And an original dude is going to do a different thing, his own thing.
Skunkor.
And it's going to be great.
Or
it's going to be awful. There is no middle ground.
There is no middle. It's your in or your out.
Yeah, this is either going to be brilliant and we wish we had this in the 80s, or this is going to be, oh man.
I'm sure as more of this story unravels.
I'll give this the benefit of the doubt.
I'm as we venture into the catacombs of Grayskull.
Oh, gosh.
We'll let you know.
That's where I'm from, you know.
Speaking of that, I believe. There are teasers out there that Scott Bakula wants to do a revival of his hit, Quantum Leap. And as much as I would love to see this, and as much as a lot of fans would love to see this...
Let it go.
You are absolutely correct. This is simply a rumor. Scott Bakula was actually doing an interview and was quoted as much as he would love to visit it. It is done. And even though people say that they were disappointed in the series finale, I wasn't.
Okay.
I liked the finale, even though at the end it says he never leaves home, which actually everyone like gets upset about. I think it plays directly into the character because he always thought he never did enough, that he had just altered a couple of lives. And his whole thing was he undervaluing his own contribution. And I honestly think that that's the best ending that they could have ever given the show and the character. He never came home because he kept trying to make things right.
The thing about sci-fi, Star Trek a little gets an exception on this, is that when it comes to sci-fi stories, they're usually futuristic and they usually take place in a future, but sometimes they take place in just an alternate version of the present with futuristic tendencies, like Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
But sci-fi always has a big theme that is relevant to the time it's created. And Quantum Leap, if you were to revisit that, even for a more satisfying ending to that story, the energy and the mindset that we had as far as sci-fi went is so different now than it was when Quantum Leap was on air that you can't go back, because we know so much more about quantum physics and science now, and string theory is so much different now that you can't just reboot something like that. You would have to start from scratch if that's something you wanted to do, which, if you wanted to start from scratch without Scott Bakula,
I don't think they could do it without Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell.
But he can't be the same character.
No, he would have to be.
It would have to be completely from scratch.
Somebody different.
You can't just reboot it.
No.
And insert him in and be like, but they're different names. No, man, you can't. You have to start from scratch.
The only way that I could see them like doing this effectively is if they because they always touched on it that there were other leapers.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe somehow further down the timeline, another leaper jumped out there and he ends up running into Sam.
Well, I mean, I feel like Sliders kind of addressed this back in the late 90s, early aughts, when they were doing it. It was the same concept, but it was from scratch. And they got to explore a lot of the same things in a different way, knowing more about science than we did back in the 80s. And I think that's the way to do it, is if you're gonna re-explore the same concepts, you have to do it from now. You can't go back to 85 and start there with those characters and that premise. Is like, no, man, we know. It's like, this is why a lot of the 80s revamps have not done so well.
No, they have. They just have.
Yeah, but for the wrong reason. They're doing well because the people who remember enjoying them as kids are going to the box office and spending the money. Are we boring you? Like, are we talking way too much about old school shit for you?
Oh no, I don't understand.
You don't know. You don't remember Quantum Leap?
You said words.
It was a show in the 80s about a guy who he was trapped in a quantum physics. Alternate reality slider thing, and he changed bodies, and so every time he basically highway to heavened it into other people's bodies and controlled their bodies to help them Ebenezer Scrooge their way to a better life. And when that plotline was resolved, he would quantum leap into a different reality, different body, and solve those problems on a week to week basis.
I had a really sad childhood.
I had a great childhood because I didn't watch this bullshit.
I loved this show.
Very different ages when this show was on.
The whole entry was,
I had to be in bed by 8 when this show was on.
The whole thing was leaping from life to life, striving right.
She already got it.
What once went wrong.
Yeah, she got there.
Hoping this next
leap
would be
the reason. Got it.
Reading Rainbow.
You know what?
I was like, okay.
LeVar Burton and his goddamn Reading Rainbow.
Fuck you. You fuck yourself, man. You've alienated out your entire audience.
I like the new one, the Reading Necronomicon.
Just also LeVar Burton.
LeVar, I love LeVar Burton. He's actually really entertaining. He's fun. He's a fun guy to talk to.
He's just
yeah. Fig is kind of shrugged you off. In comic book news,
don't touch me.
Okay, touch me. No, touch me. In comic book news, the Batman the Animated Series is actually coming back in comic book form for a limited edition by the original creative team from the TV show. Paul Dini and Alan Burnett, as well as the Batman Adventures, Ty Templeton, will be doing a 6-issue limited series.
How does he talk?
Well, since it's a comic book, I don't know.
Because, like, his mask literally covers his entire face.
You know what always bothered me on the animated series is when Batman's eyes from the cowl would get wide. Harvey! And his eyes would get wider in the cowl.
That was because of gargoyles.
Oh my God. I know it's because of gargoyles, but it's just still kind of funny because the cowl.
His outfit is like completely covers his mouth, but he's still like, you can still see, like, there's no opening for him to speak.
In 1993, this cartoon called Gargoyles came out.
I know about that.
They had the great glowy eyes, and they were so expressive.
I did watch that. I don't really remember much of it, but I do remember watching it as a kid.
Oh, I remember learning to hate Will Riker. Because
Xanathos?
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I sweeten my tea now. it's bad for dogs, though. Xanatos is not good for... If you have peanut butter with Xanatos in it, don't give it to your dog. But they had these expressive, like, evil gold diamond eye things that they usually did for superheroes. And then they were like, oh, so then they redid Batman in 94. And they're like, we're going to do the same thing with Batman. And it's just, yeah, you're right. It's always been unsettling.
It is very unsettling.
It's like, how does he physically do that? But then Deadpool did it in the live action movie. And we all of us
jumped in on that.
All of us 90s kids were just like, that's the funniest thing ever.
And it's great just to see his eyes just, Harvey. I mean, that's all I could ever remember. When they were dealing with Two-Face or any of that. And
you want to know the secret to the Deadpool movie's success? It was that.
The eyeballs?
It was that joke. All right. That was the joke.
I think there's more to it. But
no.
You think that's it?
I think, okay, because they understood that kind of intelligent joke. They could make all the dick and pussy jokes they wanted. All
right. Very true. Evidently, the series is going to focus on the Azrael storyline, as well as a follow-up from the Batman and Superman crossover involving Lex Luthor. This is actually slated to hit stands in April, and it actually looks really good. Nightwing is actually Nightwing, and we've got Tim as acting Robin. Uh-oh.
Tim
Drake.
They call me
Tim.
They call me...
They call him Tim. Hungry Figgis. In video game news, our buddies over at Serenity Forge up in Boulder actually have a new game coming out.
Tell us about it, Figgis.
Come on, Figgis. Tell us all about it. Oh, now he's like, oh, there's too much pressure.
Spot. He doesn't care about video games. He wanted to talk about comics.
You want to talk about comics, Figgis? I know you've probably thrashed a couple in your lifetime.
I don't think he has.
No?
No, I don't think he's ever been exposed to comics.
Oh, well, lucky you. our buddies over at Serenity Forge, who are home based in Boulder, have a new game called Half Past Fate that will be coming out on Steam and Nintendo Switch. We will put a link on this on our page. It is due to hit out in March 12th when it lands.
That's relatively soon.
It is very, very relatively soon.
It's like 2 weeks.
Our buddy Z, who is the president of the company, sent this link over to me. Half Past Fate is a narrative adventure game with a charismatic 3D pixel art style, following the journey of 6 ordinary people who found each other in an extraordinary way.
Sounds
like a fun little interactive game. Serenity Forge is very education-based video games. Z and his wife Maddie are spectacular people. I've known them for years, and I'm so happy at their continued success in the video game world, because it is dog eat dog in that industry.
I think it's just E cancels release dates.
You think so?
Eat dog.
Cancel release date.
Cancel release date, eat dog.
I mean, at least it's not produced by Square Enix. We'll never get that game another 10 years.
No. Well, I love that Square Enix pushed off Final Fantasy again until April. Is that what it was, the date?
Which April one are we talking about?
The Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, I mean, we're not going to see that for another 10 years.
I just keep pushing.
10 years.
Oh, 10 yeah, centuries. Dude. Like, I mean, okay, so I remember, right?
Yeah.
Like, aside from the Kingdom Hearts where we had to wait, like, what was it? Like, 10, was it 10 years or 13? I lost count after 10.
She's like, I was alive back then.
I was a fetus.
I was a fetus when they made this promise. No, baby, do the magic hand then.
There was a... So, I remember when 13, 15, and Type-0 were announced was in 2009. I remember
really? Was it that late?
It was... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. So essentially, Final Fantasy 13, like, so what is now Final Fantasy 15 was supposed to be 13 Versus. Type-0 was supposed to be Final Fantasy 13 Agito. Those were the titles. And then they switched it later on, like, in, like, mid-production and stuff. But, I mean, I understand why, because what they're trying to do is, like, focus on one game and stuff like that at a time, more so. But, like, they're working on multiple projects at the same time. So it's, like, that's why... They cut the costs when it comes to, like... I remember watching a video about it. They lowered the amount of staff that they had in order to, like, basically milk games for what they were worth. That's why there's so many versions of, like, Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Final Fantasy VII has, like, its own spin-offs in
they
as well.
They retailed so. Their production.
Yeah. I remember... I don't remember when they even dropped. I know that 13 dropped first, and then Type-0 dropped after, and then 15. But they were all relatively in the same, like, within, like, a couple years from each other. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it's still kind of a piss-off, because I'm like, I waited 10 years.
I waited 10 years for this.
I waited
10
years.
It's 2019. Where are you?
And
hello?
It's still loaded full of patches. Fuck!
Enix, explain!
So we will post
the. It was not as bad as Andromeda. Andromeda, they had to keep patching it because of the fact that they fucked up on the graphics.
So we will post the trailer along with this podcast on the page, so you can check it out. Absolutely worth every cent. Help support local gamers, local gaming industry. Serenity Forge, love the guys.
Did you hear about the fact that Crunchyroll did a anime? Award ceremony yesterday?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I only caught the end, which I only cared about. Best anime of the year was Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, which was the one where the guy's sister Tanjiro turns into a demon, and so he's trying to find the guy who turns people into demons and try to find a way to turn her back into a human. But it's actually really cool. Okay, so I do nitpick a little bit where I don't really like CGI in anime. Sometimes it looks really wonky.
Very wonky.
But other
Apple
than that,
Appleseed looked horrible in.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Aside from that though, like the story is really solid. The animation is really beautiful. They also added traditional Japanese painting style into it whenever they're using their techniques, and it's actually a really great anime, so I'm really glad I won. But at the same time, where's the fucking movie? I want to watch it.
Isn't there something coming out for Hero Academia?
It already dropped in Japan. It's supposed to come out sometime this month.
That's what I saw, but I can't find a date anywhere.
I heard it's like the end of this month, but I'm not too entirely sure. I'm still trying to figure it out so then I can watch it and then cry.
Yeah, because is this the end?
No.
Oh.
No. Hell no.
Okay. I heard this was it for Hero Academia.
No, that's the only, the last movie that the guy plans on making.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, other than that, there's still several arcs that they have to make or animate because I read ahead. So there's
cheater.
More to the story.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's just that guy's end.
Yeah,
right.
So with Demon Slayer, they're coming out with a movie, and then they're going to come out with a second season. They really did it. Like, they did a good job of advertising the movie as well, because the end of the first season shows them on the train, and the movie's called Mugen Train, so it's literally continuing where the first season had ended.
Hmm.
So it's like straight into the movie, then straight into season two.
I found my box. I was going through stuff, putting things away, getting ready for con season. I have boxes.
Oh my god, he has boxes.
They're not like yours and mine.
Oh, Jesus.
A VHS anime.
I still have Titanic.
I went digging. No, but see, I was on a hunt.
Oh my god.
Well, I've got a couple. I've got Meals on Wheels, which is a Jackie Chan awesome film.
I'm pretty sure that's a charity.
You would think.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Okay, then it's Wheels on Meals.
Okay.
Wheels on Meals?
Yes, and it's a Jackie Chan film, and it is awesome. It's a great film. But in this box was the one that I was looking for, which was Bubblegum Crisis, which is an amazing anime.
I've heard of this, but I can't remember for the life of me what it looked like.
I can, and I don't want to.
You're not! Pris was great. There are a bunch of women in these exosuits that are fighting crime, and they're badass.
Wait, there were strong women with extreme battle armor?
Yes!
I still have...
In an anime?
I never!
I did actually find my copy of... My VHS copy of a Sailor Moon movie. I can't remember which one it was. There were a few.
Magic Users Club on VHS.
Yeah. Well, and of course, in there is my Akira VHS and my Akira soundtrack. Oof. That's actually on a CD, which I didn't even know I had still had in there. I thought I'd gotten rid of that ages ago.
Escaflowne. Nah. I got that somewhere. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Do you know Death Note at all?
Yeah, I know Death Note.
Okay. What's Light Yagami's favorite movie?
Is she gatekeeping us? I feel like she's gatekeeping.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Are we being tested?
Akira.
Oh, is it Akira?
No. Is it the Akira? Akira? A killer?
Oh, gotcha.
funny.
And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye. We will be back next week with Lord knows what kind of story and more of Tao's.
Grilled cheese!
No cheese.
Aaron's not here to do a dad joke, so I did an anime dad joke.
There you
go.
Hopefully Aaron comes back from the drunken haze that he's been trapped in.
Do you want me to kill him?
No! We'll go check him into rehab. Oh. That'll be way more fun.
But how about that? What's the fucking point then?
Yes, the planet killer bat.
It was a space ball bat.
Space ball bat.
Space ball bat.
Space ball bat.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.